The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live, and I hope you're going to have a good day listening. Let's see. Adjust my camera here for online stuff. I think it's a little bit better. I have a nice shirt on. It says Christ alone. Christ alone. He alone is our Savior. He alone is the one who can save us from our sins. He alone is the one who became flesh, God in flesh, second person of the Trinity. He alone is the one who physically rose from the dead 3 days later. Nobody else in history has done that, just Jesus. Christianity is unique because we have Jesus Christ. Christ alone is the means by which we're saved, not by Christ and our baptism and our sacraments and our keeping the law and our anything. It's who Jesus Christ alone. And I have that shirt right there, Christ alone. That's how it should be. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Also, if you are interested, you can email me, and I've got my email open right now. You can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You can give me a call, and I can... We have a little bit of radio questions, you know. We've got like 13 in there right now, 13 or actually more probably, so that we have any dead time, I can just go to the questions. So if you have a comment or a question, you know, even if it's, tell you what, if you hate what I do, I want to hear it. If you think I am the worst thing that's ever been on radio, I would love it if you said that you thought I was the worst thing on radio and give me the reasons why. I will read it on the air. I enjoy that kind of stuff. And so just for the, because I'm a professional, folks, I would say don't do this on your own at home because you might be depressed. But I like it. I like to hear the hate mail. I like to read it. All right, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276, once again. And if you want to email me, info@carm.org. I'm going to get some of this stuff out of the way right now. We stay on the air by the support that you give us. And, you know, we do a lot of work, we do a lot of stuff, and if you like what we do, if you like what CARM stands for, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, would you please consider supporting us? All you have to do is go to carm.org/donate, and you can support us. And there's another way you can support us. What we're trying to do is raise funds for a camera, because I've got some cameras, but they're old. One of them literally has water in the lens. They're identical cameras. And the other one doesn't work on the power supply, and none of them have an ISO something, something that I need for something, but I can't remember what it is because I'm not a camera guy. But we're trying to get at least one new camera, preferably two, but one at a time. And if you're interested in helping us out, you know, to donate for that cause, you can go to carm.org/camera, and it'll give you what it is, what we're going to do it for, and a link to the Give, Send, Go website, and we have some stuff already there. Add $250 to that, and that's how much we have totally raised, because we had someone give some for the camera in another means, and that's where we're at. See, there you go. Quick and slick. Isn't that pretty good? All right, why don't we just jump on the air? Let's get to Huskman from Ohio. Huskman, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Matt, and who can trust anybody with the last name named Slick?
That's right. How can you trust anybody with my last name? That is so true. I don't even trust me. I mean, come on. You know? That's why I have to trust the Word of God. All right, so what
Amen.
Do you got, man? What's
and
up?
I'll tell you.
What? Go ahead.
I have loved your ministry, Matt, ever since I found you back in the mid-90s when I was in research ministry, when I was in ministry myself. So I thank you, brother, for everything that you do. You're awesome, and your website is awesome, carm.org. If you've got questions, he's got answers. I think I just robbed that from somebody, Matt. My question, sir, and I can take the answer off the air.
Sure.
Vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines, we're finding out more and more now, sir, that they are not only injuring people, but there's death attributed to it. And should pastors, Matt, be warning their flocks, but also their communities about the dangers of the COVID-19 and the mRNA-based vaccines that are now in our community and right on every corner in every pharmacy. Should pastors be warning people, Matt? And I can take your answer off the air, brother. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, pastors should be warning people of all things that are true. Now, the issue here is about the COVID vaccines. So let me get him off. Here we go. So literally what I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to share my screen here, and I'll talk about this a little bit, but this will probably get me kicked off or something, yet another place where they don't want me to speak. But what I'm going to do is talk about this a little bit while I'm doing this live. I'm on the CDC website, wonder.cdc.gov. And I've done this many, many times. And what I'm going to do right now, literally I'm doing this, you can see it on the air, is, here we go, put this up, is I'm going to do two runs. This is from the CDC website. I'm going to the organization table layout. I'm putting up vaccines. And I'm doing all except COVID. I'm going to do right now, I'm going to do every single vaccine. This is all the reported issues from the 1960s on, from all locations, from everywhere, on deaths that are reported related to all the vaccines except for COVID that have been in effect since the 1960s. Now what I'm doing is on another tab, and you can see it if you're following me, is I'm doing the same thing from the CDC website, and I'm only going to do the COVID vaccines. And I'm going to do the exact same criteria, all locations and all deaths reported. This is from the CDC website, and I'm now hitting go on that. So the result from all vaccines, this is from the CDC. I'm doing this right now. It's on the web. I'm looking. You can, if you're following me on YouTube or Rumble or on Facebook, you'll see what I'm doing right now. This is not me making it up. So I'm at the CDC website right now. And all of the vaccines combined, excluding COVID, since 1960s, all of them combined, like for anthrax, for HIB, for DTP, for HEP, HPV, influenza, measles, pneumonia, polio, rabies, smallpox, typhoid, all of these combined that are reported, 10,206 total events ever been reported of deaths. Of all the vaccines, excluding the COVID ones, COVID vaccines, from the 1960s. Now, how many are just from the COVID vaccines? Remember, all the ones except COVID vaccines, 10,206, just the COVID vaccines, 34,653. Now, should a pastor mention this? I believe so. See, I'm a rebellious guy, okay? I believe in truth. I don't care where you find it. I believe that we ought to believe in the truth and practice the truth. And the CDC is putting out this information. So, for me, it's people say they don't want to take the vaccine for religious exemption. Let me just be honest. I don't have any problem religiously taking a vaccine. I've had chickenpox, polio, measles vaccines. I don't have any problem with that. It doesn't bother me. I have a problem with a vaccine that can hurt me. I don't want a vaccine that's going to hurt me. It's self-defense. And so I don't trust these vaccines. I don't. You can, if you do, praise God. You know, it's up to you. And if you've had them and you're fine, okay. No problem at all. I'm not knocking you. You do what you got to do. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying I don't trust it from the statistics. And so there, for me, it's an issue of self-defense and self-preservation, and I don't want to take it. And so should pastors say the same kind of thing? Yes. As I said earlier, you know, I'm a bit of a different rebellious kind of guy, which is why I don't get asked to speak in conferences, which is why I don't get asked to go places and talk about a lot of stuff, because I don't fit the typical mold. You know, I'm going to say things from the pulpit. If I was a pastor again, I'd say things from the pulpit. Look, folks, this is what you got to believe, what you're not going to believe. This is discipleship, law, gospel, cost. This is what this is, that what this is. Let's talk about this. If COVID's coming around, we're going to preach the gospel. I'm going to give you some statistics. I'm going to show you what the issue of self-defense is. And if you make a decision to take that vaccine, that is between you and God. I support you in it. And if you decide not to, I support you in it. This is personal. This is between you and God. And you just need information. And that's it. So there are lots of studies showing up that there are deleterious side effects, deleterious ramifications. And there you go. So here's the thing. Now, having said that, we got callers waiting, but having said that, Here's a question. Will I now be taken off of YouTube and Facebook because of this? Will I be penalized? You can't say that stuff. But what I did was show the stuff, and I'll show it again, online. This is from the CDC website, right there at the upper left. That's the CDC. This is what the CDC website is. So I'm just repeating what the official government information is. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Let's say I get penalized because I repeated what the CDC says. Wouldn't that be interesting? Let's say that they say, yep, sorry, it's disinformation. Then we would know the thought police, the Gestapo information police, are at work. And you're not allowed to speak, even if it's facts from the government official sources, you're not allowed to speak about it because it doesn't go against the political policy that is out there. And should pastors speak about that? Yes, they should. When necessary, they should speak about the onslaught of our rights. They should speak about the deterioration of the character of the Christian church. They should speak about the truth of what we need to be doing and the strength that we need to have when we stand up against the wails of unrighteousness. Just like the woman yesterday who called up, and I forgot her name, sorry, I hope she's listening. But she called up and she's talking about the oppression that she's received from the school board, about the masks, idiocy, and the whole bit. And I'll tell you, I haven't let someone speak unchecked that long in years, and I was agreeing with everything she's saying. And I'm going to tell you something. If we Christian men and women, Christian men don't stand up and say we've had enough of this, then they're going to continue to erode our rights. You have to understand, this is not just an issue about can I pay my bills if I lose my job? It's an issue of the righteousness of God that needs to be promoted, the truth of the gospel that needs to be proclaimed, and that we as Christian people are supposed to be doing this, and that we as Christian people represent Christ, as we as Christian people should not be sitting on our hands, sitting around doing nothing. We should be proclaiming the truth, taking risks for the truth, one way or another, and the wives need to be able to support their husbands and say, you know, if you're going to go out there and you're going to risk for Jesus, I'm supporting you. Now, everything has to be done with reason, and you got to calculate the cost. Just as I was telling my friend here, Alex, in the room here with me, the gospel, law, gospel, cost, the preaching of the gospel, the law, what you're guilty of, the gospel, how to cure, and the cost, what it is that you're going to have to endure by becoming a Christian. And this is the thing that's not taught so much in Christian churches today. Instead, it's hammock theology from the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus, who will stand at the door of your heart asking permission for you to let him in, and he was the one who's going to comfort you and give you everything because the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, the positive confession, God wants you healthy and wealthy, crap theology that's being taught all over the world, that's been exported by the filth of the movement here in America, going out and deceiving people that God wants you healthy and wealthy all this time. He may, and he may not, but they say that's all he wants. This is the comfort gospel. It's the hammock gospel. There's no cost. But Jesus says, let me read this to you. I'm gonna preach about this. I'm going to tell you what this is. Luke 14:28, for which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Or otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, he's not able to finish. All who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And there's the break. I'm going to continue this after the break because I need to finish this. You need to hear it, and then we'll get to the callers. There's the music. I got to go. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let me continue with the truth of God's Word that needs to be preached and proclaimed, especially among the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. We need to know that we need to count the cost, as Jesus was saying in Luke 14. I'll continue at verse 31. What king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Now, whoa! Now, what he's talking about here, is being able to count the cost, giving up everything for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying sell your house, give it to the poor, and you and your family live in a gutter. What I'm saying here is that you have to understand the cost of discipleship and the cost of being a Christian, and that we're obligated as Christians to follow. And the wives need to support their husbands. The husbands need to support their wives in this. We need to be praying, getting in unity with the movement of the Holy Spirit within us and upon us to stand up for righteousness. I just read an article, or the top of an article. A Christian pastor has been arrested in Canada for the second time in 1 week for protesting in front of a drag queen show at libraries. And, you know, it's a perversion. He called it a perversion. Amen, it's a perversion. And we Christians need to be standing up and saying this, and you need to be willing to be arrested to go to jail. And he's got a $10,000 fine. So, you know, I hope there's a GoFundMe. I'll contribute to pay it. But this is what Christians need to do, to stand up in righteousness and unity. You know, I could preach like this a lot. Let's get to Eric from South Carolina. Eric, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Brother Matt. Love you. Love your program. I have a question that kind of thrown me off for a while. One of my favorite all-time preachers, theologians is R.C. Sproul. Just love the guy. But he had a position that I always had me scratching my head. I'm sure he had a reason behind his position on what some would call the two-part or the bi-part nature of a man versus the three-part. Versus a three-part or tripart nature of a man. I believe that we are the three parts of, you know, body, mind, soul, or spirit. But I'm trying to figure out why I never got an answer from him, and maybe you know why some people hold to this two-part or two-natured aspect of the human. Just trying to
because the Bible teaches. Dichotomy and trichotomy. Trichotomy is that man is body, soul, and spirit, and a dichotomy says that he's just body and soul, and that the soul and the spirit are used interchangeably, and so the soul and the spirit are used interchangeably, and so that's why I hold to that position, and some don't. Okay, so it's not a big deal. All right. So if you hold to it, great. If you don't, that's okay. But yeah, that's what it is.
Well, what does it mean when it says the spirit of one's mind? What is the spirit of a mind? What is mind and spirit? I mean, obviously, it's mind and spirit the exact same thing. Well, when it says the spirit of a mind, what does the Bible mean by spirit of your mind?
Well, in this, see the exact verse. So what verse are you talking about?
Oh man, you would have to hold on.
I found
if you can bear with me, I can
I found it.
Give me.
I found it. Okay, I just did a search on my computer here. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you were renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's just a phrase. It's just a turn of phrase.
I got that, but it seems like it's a little more than that.
It might be
because the mind. Either it is saying the mind is the spirit, or the mind is not the spirit. Either they are the same, or they're not. If we have a mind,
well, the issue
we have a mind that's. I'm sorry.
The issue is, are they used interchangeably? And let's see. I'm trying to look at an article I've written on this. Did the
research. Well, while you're seeing the question that needs to be just answered for me, that would help satisfy it. For someone, you can say things are interchangeable, but when it says the spirit of your mind, it's not. You can't say the spirit of your spirit. You can't say the mind of your mind.
Hold on. To be a distinction. Okay, well, the spirit and the heart are similar. You know that, right?
Yes. Well, no, in the sense of the heart.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on.
Okay, watch this. Watch this. Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning with their hearts, said, why are you reasoning about these things with your hearts? So now he says you're reasoning with your hearts. So reasoning is a thing of the mind, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So then are there verses? I'm going to find the one. So it is written, The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a living spirit. They're kind of used interchangeably there. And then, but then, well, he said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved. Now that supports trichotomy, right?
Well, and it does to in the degree that the word soul is a broad term. So I think before I get into the weeds on the word soul, I think just kind of help me settle the point of you're trying to say that mind and the spirit are the same. If you can say, you can either say yes and explain or no and explain, I'm just trying to reconcile it in my heart because it seems there to be a distinction.
Well, so I'm trying to look for here's an article I have called, look at that, just man. So, interesting. Just the article man, interesting. I should put more title in there. Dichotomy or trichotomy. And Mary said, my soul glorifies in the Lord and my spirit rejoices. So yes. Some say that the soul is in the form of spirit. That's one of the positions. Okay. If the soul is in the form of the spirit, then the spirit itself would not be rejoicing. It would just be the form of it. So the soul glorifies and the spirit rejoices. So is this literal? It's poetic, okay? And then my soul yearns for you in the night. My morning, my spirit longs for you. So now the spirit and the soul are used interchangeably. And then you have the phrase body and soul in Matthew 6:25, etc. And then we have, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Now that implies trichotomy, three parts. So I'm just saying is that there's evidence for both positions in Scripture. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
I got that. I think okay. The point is it has to be made from that I'm trying to settle in my mind that the mind and the spirit are the same thing because the unsaved, their spirit is dead. Their mind isn't dead. Their spirit is dead. Their minds are blinded. I got that. But if the mind,
Jesus got a break.
The Father, the Spirit.
We have a break. So sure. We got to take the break, and I'll show you something after the break, okay? So we'll talk about mind, spirit.
Please.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. I just want to thank you for listening. If you have a question or comment, you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Eric, are you still there?
Yo, bro, I am.
All right. Now, I'm going to read some verses. There's four. And show you that the mind and the spirit are related. And you'll see.
I know that.
So Daniel 7:15, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions of my mind kept alarming. So spirit, what is a spirit there? Is a spirit separate from his mind? The spirit had a feeling of distress, and then something different in his mind was alarming him? What's going on? 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Or 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the mind. Oh, what? Now we have two different prayer offerings, one from the spirit, one from the mind? I'll sing with the spirit, I'll sing with the mind. You see, the phraseology is used figuratively, but they seem to relate them identically. And yet there seems to be some sort of a separation, and this is why I say, I don't know. If you're dichotomy or trichotomy, that's fine. Praise God. Let's move on.
Well, the one thing is it's people are treating, in your case, it seems though you're treating it as a both, saying the same thing two different ways, versus others are saying, well, it's a both and, meaning it's this and that, And there's a, now it's not one way or another, but I know John MacArthur, not trying to appeal to authority, but the majority of theologians I come across seem to support that. And I was just wanting to find out how you stood, and now I understand. Neither here nor there. It's not a major thing. I love you big time, but I know we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I know there seems to be a distinction, but yep. It seems like there's some overlap. The Spirit of God, of course, God is a Trinity. I thought we were a Trinity as well, but maybe we're not.
We're not. No, we're not. No. But there you go.
Thank you.
So good stuff, buddy. All right.
I love you, man. Peace.
All right, man. Okay, thanks for calling, Eric. God bless, buddy.
All right. God bless.
Okay. All right, let's get to, let's see, next is Andrew from Ohio. Hey, Andrew, welcome. You're on the air. Andrew. He's been on for a half hour waiting, so I don't know if he's sitting there. Maybe he's in the restroom. Maybe he's fixing some coffee. Maybe he's panicking right now on his phone. He dropped it because he's trying to hit the mute button. I don't know. Andrew, we'll get back to him. Let's see, a few seconds. Notice how I ramble while I'm waiting to see if he's going to come on. Let's go to Joanne from North Carolina. Joanne, welcome. You're on the air.
I've been on hold for 26 minutes and 37 seconds.
That's not bad. So what do you got, Joanne?
I hate this show. It's the worst radio show I've ever heard, and I'm doing it.
That's, well, thanks, Joanne. I appreciate it. Since you lead our prayer ministry, that's pretty good. But so we have a lot of people. So I want real people who really do hate the show. I'd love it if they called in. I would. You can call in tomorrow.
You think I?
What's that?
Well, I think I really don't.
Oh, I know you. You're a sweetie. I know you love me and the show and everything. So, do you have a comment or question? Or, huh?
I have a comment. The, okay. You mentioned the caller from yesterday that her children were, her name was Brandy.
Okay, that's right. Thanks.
And we're praying for her.
Good.
I'm actually in the dark. The computer's dead, and I blew the fuse, and everything's out till I can get home and fix it. So the prayer team's going to be, prayer request will be late tonight.
Okay.
The reason for my call was to encourage.
Okay.
I know that you mentioned, I think it was Monday's show, maybe Tuesday, that I love you. You, Charlie, Laura, we're feeling sort of down. And I'm just calling to encourage. And you turned us on to Clubhouse. And
yeah.
I talked with a new Christian today, fairly new. And guess where he learned about Christ?
Where?
Through Carm.
Praise God.
And that's what I told him you would say.
Oh, yeah, praise God.
So, and you just wouldn't believe the people that are referred on Clubhouse to. Now, I only go to Christian. The people that are referred to Carm and articles and to you. And I invited an atheist. His name was Matthew. I invited him to join today. I doubt he did today. I hope he will. But just wanted you to know that and have some encouragement and to encourage and to just tell Charlie. He probably hears that. We're praying for all of the Carm family are in our prayers.
Well, good. Okay, we appreciate it. By the way, Alex is here. He's just, what do you know, he's here. And
Alex Wright.
Yes, he's right here.
Alex Wright.
Yes.
Hi, Alex.
Well, say hi, Alex.
Hey, Joanne.
Okay, see?
Hi,
all right.
Alex.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I guess that's why he's not sending prayer requests. He's he better get one really quick.
Well, you're breaking up. Now, it's hard to understand what you're saying there. So
I said, that's not Alex. It's not sending in prayer requests. He's at your house, but that problem means he ought to get one in real quick.
Yes, that's true.
Being with
okay.
you.
That's true. People need a recovery okay. time after being with me. That's right. That's why my wife hides from me constantly.
Tell him I'll wait by the computer when we power back.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, God bless. Thanks a lot, Joanne.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye. All right, let's try Andrew again, see if he's back on. Andrew, you there? He says he's an old friend of mine. That's what it says from Ohio. So I'm really curious to know who he is. Old friend of mine, Andrew, from Ohio. Well, I'm kind of hoping, I'm stalling here, hoping he'll be able to get on and we can talk and see, because that'd be nice. But if not, what I'm going to do, maybe there's a problem with the line, I'm going to hang up. And so if he's hearing me, he can call right back and we'll just get him back on pretty quickly. Sorry about the long wait. We have nobody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. So now what I'm going to do is go to some of the radio questions. Let's see. Got something short. Hello. Hello, Matt. My name is on Clubhouse. That's a it's a social chat thing. I was on there for 2.5 hours last night answering questions and teaching. And he says, I spoke to you on Tuesday, a certain date, and he asked me to email you. Oh, the syllogism, that's right. Yeah, I've got to work on that syllogism and refute it. He's an atheist. He said, God created all people, premise one. Premise two, all people are sinners, deserving of hell, can't do any good without regeneration. Premise three, God doesn't provide that regeneration to all, but only some. Based on what's in him, not what's in them. Premise four: God leaves those who don't regenerate. He doesn't regenerate in a state where they can only do evil, not good. That's correct. So God makes people evil. No, he doesn't understand the difference between the creation of Adam and Eve, who were good, and then their choice to fail, and then through their progeny, their descendants, the fallen nature is passed down through that action. So God is not making them do evil. So Adam and Eve were in the garden, and he was in Adam. He was there. He chose to rebel against God by eating the fruit. No one forced him. No one tied him down and made him eat an apple. He did it of his own free choice, his own free will. No one made him do it. So the problem here with this syllogism is that it doesn't understand this issue of what's called efficient causation and proximate causation. And so he doesn't see the difference between them. And I'll write an article refuting that. Let's see. I stopped listening about the flat earth thing. Well, okay. But the earth is not flat. And you know, people will say the Bible says the earth is flat. And I'll say, no, it doesn't. It says the four corners. And I say, oh, that means it's flat? So it has four corners. That means it's round, right? That's right. Wait, what? Four corners means it's round? Because it says a circle of the earth. So if they say the earth is circular, I'll quote, and they go to the Bible, I'll quote the four corners. Well, which is it then? Four corners? What, square? Or rectangular? Or what? Or is it circular? If they say circle, I go to the four corners. If they say four corners, I go to the circle. So which one is it? Because they don't understand what the Bible is really saying. You know what? So much heresy, so little time. Hey, there's the music. We'll be right back. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. Hey, let's get on the air here with Dave from Oregon. That's Dave from Oregon. All right, make sure I hit the right button there. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. Barely. What do you got?
Hey, so I have what I believe to be a balanced and biblical view on the topic of divorce and remarriage.
Okay.
But I've been challenged on that in the terms of the Bible simply does not allow for remarriage after someone's been divorced.
That's not
if you
true.
Recall, it's the book of Matthew. But I just was wondering how you approach that kind of conversation.
Well, the people who say that haven't studied it sufficiently, okay? So in Matthew 19:9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. So there's the condition. Except for that, and he marries another, he's committing adultery. But if it wasn't for that, okay, then he can. He can marry somebody else. Okay?
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
It's simple.
So in the case of someone that maybe they got divorced before they were a believer, maybe they've since repented.
Mm-hmm.
They were divorced for a different reason other than that. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Lord would permit them to be married. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. That's great. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the confirmation.
So that's my opinion. Okay, now there are those who disagree. Some will say there's no grounds for divorce ever, yeah, at all. Well, let me let's talk about this a little bit and give some more scripture and some stuff that I think is referenceable at this point. I'm trying to find
a certain
verse.
Ephesians 5 and just the simple picture that we as husbands are called to have the same relationship that the Lord has with his church. And I think that the Bible holds very high regard. I can understand the temptation to be really dogmatic about those kinds of things.
Yeah, but let me lay some stuff down here first, okay? Because there's something that a lot of people miss and they forget. This is Jeremiah chapter 3, starting at verse 6. And the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was the harlot there. That means she's doing pagan worship. I thought after she had done all these things, she'll return to me. But she did not return, for her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear. So God divorced Israel. Right there. Jeremiah 3:8. So is divorce sinful?
Okay.
Of course not. Because if it was sinful, God would not have used the phraseology about him offering or giving a writ of divorce to Israel. Because he's talking about their spiritual adultery of serving false gods. Now the thing is, there's going to be a wedding feast with the bride and the lamb, right? Is the lamb God?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a loose sense in which there's a remarriage, so to speak, of God himself. Now, yes, this is poetic, but the thing is, there's our principles here, and we can use this because it is relevant to the topic. And so automatically divorce is not automatically sin. So if a man and a woman are married, and let's say one of them commits adultery and will not repent, the other one is free to divorce and is free to remarry. But and this is how it works. I'll just leave it at that, okay? Because Jesus said, yeah, Matthew 19:9, except for immorality. Porneia is the word there, okay?
Right.
And another thing, abandonment, 1 Corinthians 7:15. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, this is in the context of persecution. That's what he's talking about. But if people leave, let them go. They're not under bondage at that point. Well, wait a minute. If they are no longer able to be free to be married, then why would Paul say that the person is not under bondage at that point? You see? So remarriage is doable. Now, the issue of an unbeliever, and I talked about this in seminary with some people and some trusted men of God. I said, what do you do? Just like you said, what about the people who were divorced unbiblically before they were married? Can they get remarried? And though I could understand why some people would say they can never get remarried, I don't hold that position. I hold the position that it's all wiped away in Christ and that they're new creatures in Christ. They're born again. And from then on, they walk as Christians. If they meet a person in that context, I don't have a problem with it. That's my opinion, and if people disagree, that's fine. Okay?
Yep. I absolutely agree with that. I appreciate you taking the time.
Okay. Well, there you go, buddy. All right?
Hey, thanks a lot.
Sure. You got something else, or did I hear that? Okay, I guess not. All right. Well, there you go. We have wide open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. So let's see. There's some emails to the site I want to read, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Hello. This is George from such a place. Okay. I don't want to give too much information. I caught part of what you were talking about, the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. I didn't get the reference pages that you mentioned. I would like to check them out myself. Well, it does help if the person tells me what I was referring to, so that when I get to that, I can say, well, oh, that's what you're talking about. Here's a reference, but I have no idea, so I can't answer the question. Let's see. We love the story of how Karm got started, the brag of Joseph Smith, about Joseph boasting. If you could share that, people might like it. All right, I'll do that. So years ago, I was at a Bible study. And a friend of mine, or I actually wasn't a friend at that point, and this is how what got me started is studying Mormonism. And it was a quote from Joseph Smith. And what he said, I'll just read it to you, what he said. And my friend, Chuck, who's listening right now, and he's the guy who filled in when I was in Israel a couple weeks ago. This is what he read to me. I still remember this. I still remember he was to my left. He approached from my left. And I remember I'm taller than him. So I remember looking not down at him, you know, like he's not a bad person. But I just remember the whole thing. And he had this piece of paper in his hand. And it wasn't 8.5 by 11. It was like half of that size. And it was dark colored. And I remember this because it really stuck with me. And he said, hey, you know, you were here last week. Yeah, that's right. And, can I read you something? I said, sure. This is what he read. God is in the still small voice and all these affidavits, indictments. It is all of the devil, all corruption. Come on, you prosecutors, you false swears. All hell boil over. Your burning mountains roll down your lava, for I will come out on the top at last. I have more to boast of than ever any man had. I'm the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. A large majority of the whole have stood by me. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such a work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet. That's what Joseph Smith said. That's History of the Church, Volume 6, page 408, 409. And that quote made me so angry that I snatched the paper out of his hand. And I said, who said this? Because he didn't tell me who said it. And he said, well, that's Joseph Smith. I said, well, who's that? And he said, that's the founder of Mormonism. And I said to him, well, Mormons are Christians, but that guy is not. Because no Christian would, true Christian would boast like that. And he said, no, Mormonism's not Christian. I said, yes, it is. He said, no, it's not. I said, what do you mean it's not? And he started telling me what they teach. Well, God's an exalted man from another world. He is goddess wife. You know, and you become gods if you go to the temples. I said, what? What are you saying? I said, they can't believe that. They go, yes. And this is what started me studying apologetics. That's the quote. That is the quote. I remember once when Charlie and I, it was either Charlie or Dave, I can't remember, were at the swap meet ministry. And I was talking to a guy about what Mormonism teaches. You know, that God is an exalted man from another world. He brought one of his wives from that world. He has a body of flesh and bones. She has a body of flesh and bones. They have relations in heaven, produce spirit offspring that inhabit human bodies. Now, these are the manifestations of the eternal intelligences, etc. And that there was a disagreement in heaven about how the salvation work would be accomplished. And a third of the spirits that sided with Jesus were born in white-skinned bodies, and a third of the spirits that sided with the devil could only stay as demons. They could become demonic forces. And a third that didn't go either way are born in black-skinned bodies. And after you pay a full 10% tithe of your income to the church for at least a year and your records are verified and checked, you can get a temple recommend. Once you go into the temple, you get secret garments, you get an apron, a fig leaf apron, which is a symbol of authority and priesthood, and you learn handshakes, you get a new hug, so that hopefully you can become a god of your own planet. And I said this to a guy once, and I still remember him looking at me, and he said, "You're a liar." I said, "What?" He said, "You're a liar." I said, "No, I'm telling you what they believe." And he said, "No, you're not." He said, "You're lying." I said, "No, I'm not. This is what they teach." He said, and I remember this, he said, "No, you're lying, because no one's that dumb to believe that." He goes, "You're just lying." He walked off. I go, "No, here's the documentation." He just waved his hand, backhanded, and we kept going. He wouldn't believe it. But that's what they teach. And he called me a liar. He goes, "No one's that dumb." This is what he said, okay? And so this just tells you about spiritual oppression and deception. The Mormon church is not Christian, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Christian. And if you're a Mormon, you want to say, yes, it is. You have a testimony, a burning in your bosom. Well, Satan can imitate all kinds of stuff. Well, I was praying to God. Were you? Which God? The eternal God of the eternal universe, or an exalted man from another world? One of them is true and one of them is false. If you pray to a false God, you're going to get a false answer. But I have the testimony of the Spirit of God. I have the testimony of the Spirit of God that Mormonism is false. And my testimony is incredibly strong because I had an encounter with the Lord when I was young. So here's the thing. The true gospel is this. There's only one God in all existence, all place, and all times. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not three gods. The second person of the Trinity became one of us. He fulfilled the law perfectly. He did everything that was necessary for our salvation. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, not Gethsemane, on the cross. And he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. The resurrection is the proof that what he did is acceptable to God the Father. So what we do is receive by faith what he did. We don't add to his work. We don't add our good works or our baptism, because that then means that what he did is not enough. Oh, you're supposed to do good works, but the good works don't contribute to your salvation. The good works don't contribute because they're stained by God, by your own hand, your own heart. The true gospel is faith in Christ, completely and totally in him. That's what the true gospel is. And the true God, not the Mormon gospel. And then, since I don't have time, I can't tell you what the cost. If you're a Mormon and you want to believe in the true God, it's going to cost you. But that's what Jesus says. Pick up your cross, follow after me. If you don't do that, you're not worthy of me. Luke 9:22. And 14:28, count the cost. Because eternity is a long time to be wrong. All right. Count the cost. Count the cost. You've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't hear the music, which by now should have already been on, so I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if we're on the air. Are we on the air still? The time has passed. I can't tell. I think we are done.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.